The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now it's time to think and discern. This is Bob Burney Live.
Well, I have no pleasure whatsoever in discussing this next story with you. None whatsoever. It brings nothing but sadness to me, and the only reason I bring it to your attention is for what you and I can learn from this. Welcome to Bob Burney Live. This is the 4 o'clock hour of the program. Sadly and unfortunately, James McDonald is in the news again. Hasn't been in the news for quite some time. And let me preface what I'm going to say by this. There are few preachers in my lifetime that I have had more respect and more honor for than James McDonald. Blessed immensely by his ministry, his teaching, I have stated on numerous occasions that one of the finest Bible teachers of at least a generation, maybe two or three. That's why we were privileged to have James McDonald at either one or two of our pastor appreciation breakfasts. WRFD brought him into Columbus on two different occasions. We were just thrilled to be his radio partners for Walk in the Word. I just had enormous respect for James McDonald. And as I said, one of the most talented and one of the most effective Bible teachers that I've ever heard. Few people could open God's word and apply it like James McDonald. But as all of you know, there was a great deal of controversy surrounding James, his personal life, financial dealings, the way he dealt with his staff. Praise God, I've never heard a single thing about infidelity, his marriage, none of that. Dictatorial leader, financial improprieties, and so forth. Well, February of last year, in fact, February 12th, to be exact, of last year, he was fired by Harvest Bible Chapel. Before that, he had taken a sabbatical, a voluntary sabbatical, until the dust settled. The elders of Harvest Bible Chapel in Chicago did an extensive investigation. And as a result, he was terminated for, quote, not being above reproach and for having, quote, a sinful pattern of inappropriate language, anger, and domineering behavior. This news rocked the evangelical world. I mean, it just rocked the evangelical world. One of the best known evangelical teachers and preachers in America fired by one of the largest, most influential churches in America. There was a lot of controversy about it. When he took the sabbatical, he took some responsibility. He released a statement and said, yeah, you know, I haven't always been what I should be, and I'm sorry, and I'm going to get alone, and, you know, and so on and so forth. Now, why do I bring this up today? Well, over the weekend, and I just saw it today, one of our listeners made me aware of it. Over the weekend, the elders of Harvest Bible Chapel, which, by the way, all of the elders, the leaders of the church that were there under James McDonald, all of them are gone. Not one of them has remained. All of them have resigned, and I think they did it voluntarily. So it's completely, totally new leadership. And over the weekend, they felt it necessary to release a public statement. And this is why I bring it up. I don't pass on gossip. I don't pass on rumors. I just don't do that. This is a public statement made to the world by the leadership of Harvest Bible Chapel, and it is being carried by most of the, at least, religious news sources around the country. And again, I want to make this absolutely clear. I am not bringing this up to condemn James McDonald or to pass judgment upon him. There is a lesson, and that's what I want to get to. But let me read just a portion of this letter. Dear Harvest Bible Chapel family, we come to you today with very heavy hearts, saddened by the necessity of this statement regarding Dr. James McDonald. The content of this statement is going to be very difficult to hear. We want to start by being clear that Harvest Bible Chapel is very thankful for the 30 years of ministry that James McDonald served this church. There are countless stories of how God used James for his glory and for his purposes in the lives of the people of this church and around the world. His example of teaching the Word of God as the final word of authority will remain in the fabric of this church moving forward. I'm glad they said that. I really am. And then they say, you may be wondering why we are coming to you now months after James' dismissal. As we spent time with the congregation, visited all of our campuses, it became clear that there was confusion over the previous statements about our former senior pastor. We are here today to provide clarity to our church family and also to those who listened to and supported Walk in the Word, a ministry of Harvest Bible Chapel. We understand the seriousness of these spiritual matters and desire to be wise and discerning as we seek the Lord to guide us through the Scriptures. In accordance with 1 Timothy 5:19-20, over the past several months, we have been investigating the charges against our former senior pastor. And then they go on and say, we did not listen to anyone unless there were at least two witnesses, at least. They only considered evidence from firsthand witnesses. We have listened to these witnesses in groups of two interviewers in order to protect us from individual opinion and so forth. Then they say, these accusations and the results of this investigation have led us to conclude that James had a substantial pattern of sinful behavior in the following areas. And I'm not going to go through all of these, but there are nine individual areas of sinful behavior with evidence and scriptural foundation for each of these charges. Here's what I want to get to. Quote, because of these findings, James was biblically disqualified from the position of elder, meaning he did not meet the spiritual standards to which a Harvest Bible Chapel elder is held. The Bible does not teach that disqualification from ministry is permanent. However, with the scope of the damage caused by his behavior, James will not be able to serve again as an elder or pastor of Harvest Bible Chapel. We believe James could be restored to ministry someday, but in order for that day to come, the fruits of repentance must be evident. Based on Harvest Bible Chapel's interpretation of the Scripture, we have not yet seen evidence of this. There is much potential for God to be glorified through him in the coming years, and our hope is to witness that someday. Then the final paragraph, the appropriate response to the content of this statement is grief and sadness. It should grieve the heart of every child of God to see the founding pastor of this church in this place. Though this is painful, we desire this rebuke to be loving, and we remain open to meeting with James. Please don't ever stop praying for James and Kathy. We trust God with this church that belongs to Jesus Christ, and then it's signed the elders of Harvest Bible Chapel. And by the way, this is absolutely biblical. Private sin is to be dealt with privately, but Scripture is very clear that a spiritual leader, particularly an elder, is to be rebuked publicly. That is the New Testament. I cannot express the sadness of my heart in reading this. But when we come back, I give you the reason why I did, and why you and I must learn from this. God is going to have to deal with James McDonald, but you and I have a responsibility before God to deal with the same issue that he did. We'll be back.
Talk radio that makes a difference.
Makes a difference.
This is Bob Burney Live.
All right, I want to make it clear. I'm not passing along gossip, and I have no delight, no joy whatsoever in reporting this story about the fall, at least for now, of one of America's great Bible teachers, and that's James McDonald. And I say for now, because I am praying that he will truly repent, become accountable, real repentance, true repentance, and become accountable and go through a process of restoration. I do believe he can be restored. I really do. I believe in grace. But here's the lesson for you and I. So I bring this story up not to condemn him. I have nothing but pity. And pity in a biblical sense for James McDonald, his wife, his family, the church in Chicago, the satellite churches around the country that have been impacted by this. But here's the lesson, folks. Some would say, well, the devil made James McDonald do this. No, the devil didn't do it. Was the devil involved? Yes. Can he be blamed? No. I got a news flash for you. The devil is not your greatest enemy. Let me repeat that. The devil is not your greatest enemy. One of the worst lies ever to come out of the pit of hell is, well, the devil made me do it. If you're a born-again believer, you have the Holy Spirit of God living and dwelling inside of you, and Scripture says greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The devil can't make you do anything. Can he tempt you? Yes. Can he influence you? Yes. Can he put you in a place of temptation? Yes. But he cannot make you do anything. James McDonald succumbed to his own rotten, dirty, uncrucified, proud flesh. And that's what you and I battle every day. His greatest enemy is his own flesh. My greatest enemy is my own flesh. Your greatest enemy is your own flesh. Please understand that. We must take responsibility for our own sin, for our own failures, and we cannot blame it on anybody else, including the devil. Think of Paul. I think the case could be made that Paul was the most spiritually mature man that ever walked this planet other than Jesus himself. And yet Paul, at the peak of his spiritual maturity, he was not a novice when he wrote, "Man, everything I want to do, I don't do, and everything I don't want to do, that's what I end up doing. Oh, wretched man that I am." That's Paul. It was Paul who said, "In me, that is, in my flesh, dwells no good thing." Paul admits that there was a monster living inside of him called the flesh, and there was absolutely, positively, unequivocally nothing good about his flesh. Nothing, 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 nothing. I'm reading through the Old Testament again, and the last couple of days I've been reading about Solomon. And this morning, here's the wisest man that ever lived. Was given the opportunity from God. Hey, what do you want? You can have anything. I just want wisdom. And God says, "Wow, that's great. You didn't ask for riches. You asked for wisdom, so I'm going to give you both, riches and wisdom." And then there's all the verses about his incredible, wonderful, wonderful wisdom. And then he turns around and does absolutely stupid things. I mean, stupid things. Because he gave in to his lust and to his flesh. After all that God did for him, he turns after the idols of his many, many, many wives. Why did he have many, many, many wives? Because of his flesh. David, the man after God's own heart, the greatest king that Israel ever had, the only human being mentioned in the last half of the book of Revelation, in Revelation chapter 22, verse 16, that whole thing with Bathsheba, his flesh. And when Psalm wrote the great Psalm of Repentance, Psalm 51, please note, he doesn't blame it on the devil. He doesn't blame it on Bathsheba. He doesn't blame it on the way he was raised. He doesn't blame it on his parents. He says, it was me. I am the one that committed this deep sin, this iniquity. Peter, who became the great leader of the New Testament church, betrayed Jesus three times. I never heard of the blankety blank so-and-so. Why? Because his flesh was afraid. His flesh was afraid of the consequences of standing up for Jesus. And here's a lesson all of us must learn. There but by the grace of God go I. James McDonald has fallen. It's very public, and it's sad. It's horribly sad. But it's because he succumbed to his own flesh. He didn't take his flesh to the cross on a daily basis. That's why Paul said he died daily. That's why Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Now, what did he mean by that? They did one thing at the cross. They killed people. Crucifixion meant one thing, death. Paul says, I am crucified. I die with Christ. He said he took up his cross, death, dying every single day. Folks, you are not above temptation. You are not above failure, falling. You are not above any sin. But that's why we must recognize our own filthy, dirty, uncrucified flesh and on a daily basis come to the place where we say, I die, he lives. Your flesh will destroy you, your family. Now, be aware of your flesh. Give God permission to reveal your flesh to you. Pray for James McDonald. Pray that there will be true, real repentance and ultimately restoration. Pray for Harvest Bible Chapel and the thousands and thousands of people that have been impacted by this. Pray that God will receive glory.